Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is on fire. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wallin, where two sexy firefighters try to prevent the flame from getting too hot. We're here to share our stories of dating, parenting, and what happens when you record it all for the world to see. Before we get started today, we want to always thank those of you on Patreon. Hey, patrons. If you want to join our Patreon, you can give $1, $2, $5 a month to sponsor the Wallin family. And the link to the Patreon is in the episode notes. So you can find that on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, hello, YouTube. I love YouTube. It didn't dawn on me that people can participate more in the podcast dialogue with the YouTube. I know that's like, duh, Amber, but I don't know. I just didn't think about that. So hi, YouTube. Oh, yeah.
YouTube comments, right. YouTube comments allow more interaction. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's kind of the only interface that you can interact with it. Yeah. Like,
I guess
podcast,
you can leave a podcast review. That's one way to interact. And the more podcast reviews we get, the more likely it's going to pop up on someone's feed.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if you enjoy the show, make sure you leave a review. If you don't enjoy the show, don't leave a review, or just lie and say you enjoy the show and leave a review.
Lie. But yes, please leave a review and we will get back to reading those reviews on the air. Anyway, let's jump right into our first segment called Hashtag Influenced, where we talk about our lives as influencers and creators on the internet, because it has been a fucking dumpster fire lately.
So I've been on TikTok for about a week now, which has been absolutely fantastic. Chilling on the TikTok streets. First time. And it was actually Amber's idea for me to post a video.
Wasn't.
Yes, it was. Amber made a video unaware that this video would be perceived as, I guess, you know, voyeuristic. So it looks like Amber is taking a video of someone else's child and a grown man. And she's commenting
whose
on
name
this,
I know.
And she's commenting on this individual's parenting decision. And it was my, you can watch the video. And so people thought that despite the subtitles and despite the fact that you say, my baby, and look at Ben, they thought maybe, I guess, that
they thought I was
kid.
Recording a stranger and a stranger's
and
child
without their consent.
Which is cause for alarm.
No, it's not. It's legal. And people,
somebody's child, that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's legal. It's legal. I mean, ethically, maybe not, but that's an interesting conversation. But if you're out in the streets and you are just recording and someone's head pops up, maybe you're recording a skateboarding video, that is still your right to record. And I think that's an important right. And this is one of the great things I love about the U.S. is that we protect the right to record in many, many different ways. And that other countries and other statehoods do not provide that level of support. So that's actually a good thing. It's creepy.
It's weird. Yeah, yeah. And which is what people said. Yeah. And people had valid points, except for the fact that it's my family that I'm recording.
Yeah, so everyone, and then Amber was like, you know what you should do, Ben? Because this was completely unintentional. She's like, you should, you know, comment.
Make a comment. That was my suggestion. Comment. I was like, make a comment and troll.
And then I was like, I'll do you one better. I'll stitch a video pretending that I don't know who you are, just to...
Yes, it's like,
it
I'm the father in the video. You went like full white woman, being like, I'm a mere victim and this stranger was harassing me, which has now led to people further harassing me.
Which has increased your level of views.
It has.
Because the more viewage you get, the more money you get paid, the more it's better. It's actually better. And then people will eventually figure out the joke. Some people are figuring out the joke and saying, oh, this was fun. And other people feel, you know, cheated. But here's the thing. On the internet
I don't understand how people feel cheated. I mean, it's... There's this really interesting thing.
Well, they feel tricked. They feel tricked.
But there is this interesting thing on the internet where people, like, I will watch a video that I'm confused about, and then I'll read the comments, and I'll see, like, oh, this woman made a, like, don't you hate when men are stalking you at the gym? And all the comments are like, oh, she's picking on her husband again.
Okay, okay.
Like, I'll read that and be like, oh, that's fun. Okay, like, it's a funny joke. But I
So
kind
you
of,
go and re- let me be clear. So you go and research the context. Right.
Yeah.
For the video. Or like even if there's a drama or maybe someone's covering a true crime, you don't really understand the context of it. And then you go and Google it. So you sort of do the groundwork to research. And
yes, I'll be like, oh, I could kind of see. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I think, you know, it's so funny because sometimes people bait people to do that.
Yeah.
What it is there, whatever. It's like, I'm gonna bait like I'm a horrible tenant and my landlord's coming when it's really my partner or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's what we did unintentionally. And so we got
Yes. Actually did not try to bait people. I was
exactly.
like, look at him with my child on the floor. So that's what I was like, why is this video blowing up? It's so mundane. And I was like, oh. And then you get into people being like, blacks, never minding their business.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, here.
So originally Go.
You go.
Yeah, blacks never minding their business. Yeah, so then it divulged into racism.
It goes from zero to racism so fast, and it's like, so I'm weird for potentially posting a stranger's kid, which I didn't do, but you're not weird for just being wildly racist cute.
I guess like, well, okay, I want to go back. This video, I think, that inspired me to create my own TikTok is interesting. I think it brings up a really fun conversation, a fun debate.
Can I say something real quick before that? So, to be fair, you have always had your own TikTok.
Yeah.
You've been sort of lurking in the shadows, and that's...
Comments.
You've lurked in the comments. You used to never create videos because when I first started making TikToks, you were a teacher.
Yes.
So you're like, I don't want anything
that
can make
thing.
Me lose my job, and we've already been in the principal's office because... You know,
I brought
like,
a hawk
hey.
Into school.
Yeah, you're like, hey, you're on your wife's TikTok. Can like, this is kind of weird. Some of the kids know about this, but you could sort of never be held liable because you never had your own videos. So now that you no longer work there, I guess you felt a little bit of freedom to start creating your own videos, which I love. Like, you know, you're a phenomenal editor and like, but what do you think has stopped you from like posting? Because you haven't been at that job for like a year.
I mean, I don't want to. I post because it's exhausting. It's really hard to be an influencer, and it's hard to post consistently. And so what happens is that if both of us are posting a video each day, that and sort of doubles the work. Because if you're tired one day and I come up with a good idea, then that idea can just live on your page. Well, if you're tired one day, I have to come up with two good ideas. So that's sort of the reason. But there's a couple things I want to go back to.
Okay.
I think in general, the first thing, on influencer and just social media in general, if you are a social media, you know, person, or if you're active on the internet, people try to have like real conversations on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have real conversations on the internet, but I don't think social media is the place to have those. Maybe like certain forums or other parts of the internet. So you can't have
closed
a real
system.
Yeah, closed,
like,
so like
but
a
social
TikTok
media...
or Instagram or getting into beef on IG is like so absurd. So whenever someone is like uncomfortable with a video Amber and I make, our response is never serious. The only way to match that is with comedy. Right. There's and because if you have a serious response or you're trying to like defend yourself, then what will happen inevitably is that you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Like, yes.
You're going to end up. So just double down. Like if someone thinks you're being offensive, double down, make it more offensive. If someone thinks that like you were doing something wrong, like make them think that you were not only wrong, but you are a terrible person. Like, you know, you sort of play this game. Like this is TikTok, Instagram, Facebook is not the place for real conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think TikTok especially because there's, you know, I posted this exact same video on Instagram and I think I just have more of my people on Instagram.
Yeah, it's
not
a little bit more
my people means like, you know, insular. not just black people, not just women, not just like, you know, married people or whatever. It's just like, yeah, people are a little bit more familiar with blank.
Oh, you know what? You also post stories on Instagram.
Yes,
so if you want to see more of Amber's stories and like her day to day and just more like, you know, behind the scenes stuff, you go on Instagram. And so people are going to have more of that on so people might know a little bit more of our comedy style if you're on Instagram, which is probably why people didn't pick up on the misstep.
TikTok is just high visibility, which is great, but you just run the risk of so many random people who have never heard of you, who never don't know you, they're not familiar with what you do, finding their way.
Yeah.
Like, you just end up on their For You page,
which is exciting.
It's wait.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You, sorry. You okay?
Yeah, go. Yeah, I'm caffeinated.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm like, now this is like your third time running over the queen. Go ahead. You've ran over me three times.
I just haven't said anything.
Oh,
we
got it.
Yeah.
Okay, blink twice when I do it. Because, we want to be mindful of
running
over each other.
Yeah, keep going. Well, I was going to say, because you were before
keep
the show.
Keep going or you was going to say?
Well, I want to bring this. You were saying that you have to constantly reintroduce yourself,
yes,
right?
You always have to be like, hey, if you're new to my, which I hate doing that. I kind of do versions of that, but there is some level of like, hey, if you're new to my page, I'm Amber. I'm a 32-year-old mom, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm going to try to lob a joke in there. If the girls that get it, get it. And the girls that don't, don't. But I think it also stands to generate like, oh, this is hilarious. Like, I'm new here and I found this hilarious.
Yeah.
But there is some level, like, I remember reading one comment recently that said, like, if this was a joke, someone should have said it was a joke. It's like, then it's not a joke. It's because your response has really got people fired up because they don't know you. So they don't understand like satire and stuff. And for people who are like, what the fuck are they even talking about? We'll post the links to the videos in the episode notes, but it's just super interesting because obviously there's like super famous celebrities like Beyonce and Elton John, like people who don't have to, like, they can make a new album or whatever, they never have to like reintroduce themselves because they're so famous. And then there's like macro and micro influencers where your job is sort of constantly to say like, hey, I'm a yogi who does naked yoga. If that makes you uncomfortable, leave. But it's like something about the internet is kind of just like, It's almost like a convention, and here's an open door, and you can walk in and out, and then but people will walk into a convention room where there's a panel and be like, well, what are we even in here talking about? It's so, like, just sit down and listen. Just look at the comment section. Just read. Just get a feel for it. But they won't. They'll be like, nope, I'm in, I'm out.
So someone doing like naked yoga, right?
Right.
This person might have followers who love the idea. It's so fantastic. And all of a sudden, they might get an enormous amount of popularity and fame.
Right.
Right. And in that instant, then that person has to explain the concept behind naked yoga. And the concept itself might be grounded in like body positivity, all of this stuff. But when you get enormous amount of fame very quickly, people without context make a lot of assumptions about, you know, the purpose of whatever concept that you have. And so in your case, like, all of a sudden you make this video and it sounds like a lot of people watch this who don't really know your style or your commentary on the world, because I could tell, because we were looking at it, I was like, oh, usually the ratio between your views and likes are much higher. And so I was like, oh, in that case, probably this video reached a lot of people that weren't necessarily familiar with the kind of comedy that you do.
Yeah, I have no regrets.
And influencing that could happen. Like, you have like this loyal fan base, and then all of a sudden you get an explosion of popularity. And in that case, influencers sort of have to be cautious of like how they proceed.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to sort of defend and be like, no, this is my husband? In this case, like,
no.
I wasn't filming. No,
you can't do that,
not.
Because then your OG fans are like, no, we're here for the riot. Like, don't explain yourself. Like, we'll drag them for you.
No, keep creating. What you do is you make a Stitch video of your husband doubling down. I don't know this woman. Actually, Amber would sometimes do that to me in public where I would like,
oh my gosh.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, like, I would like try to give her a hug. She's like, I don't know this man, and like run away from me as like a joke. Like, if we were like drinking out at a bar some night and she decided to like make a joke and try to make me look like a stalker, killer, rapist or something.
Yeah, well, especially if like, well, it's past the whole interracial bit, right? I think like to people walking on the street, like we look mismatched
a little bit.
Like stylistically.
Like my socks.
Yes, because you're wearing like socks and sandals, and then I'll be in like a pump and
or
a thigh-high boot. Yeah.
I wear like a high sock brown and then a low sock like yellow. Like,
yeah.
All
and I'm like, you know, wearing like a full tulle duster overlay with like a cinched waist and looking fabulous, and you know, you rolled out of bed. And so people see that and they're like, there's no world where these two are together. So I'll be like at the front of a Starbucks coffee line and Ben is like going to park the car. And so he walks in and goes like straight to the front. Everybody's like, not you cutting this black lady in line. And I'm like, oh. And so when that happens, I'm kind of like, should I let them roast Ben for a second or should I say something?
Sort of fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Who's it fucked up about? Me?
It's funny. It's fun. I mean, it makes me feel embarrassed, which is funny. But
we've all done that to an amount. Do you remember a couple years ago? It was like during the pandemic where this like white news reporter was, you know, giving updates about the virus progressing and stuff. And he's doing this in his study because we're at work from home. And this little kid like jolts into the room behind him. Right. And he's like, you know, still trying to talk. And so you see this Asian lady come in, like pulling this child, like getting this child out of here as quickly as possible.
Not the nanny, but it was the mom.
And people are in the comments like, fire that nanny. Like, what is going on? The nanny should have known better. And he's like, that's my wife. Like, so you're making it's like your racism is showing by assuming that this like Asian woman in my house is an employee. Yeah. And so I think. With this, the optics of it were perfect. Like, I was perfectly standing in line waiting for the food while y'all were on the side, and it just gave, like, oh, here's...
Sort of makes me want to make more intentional content like that. Like, eventually down the road, we should do something to call back to this.
We should. You know what? All right. If y'all have some ideas out there about how we can keep people trolling us because they don't assume we're together, like, I'd love... Oh, you've talked about doing that in public before. You'll be like... telling people like, oh, is this your wife? You're like, no, it's the nanny, and just like slapping my butt or something and just like making them feel uncomfortable. They're like,
wait,
so you're boning your nanny?
I have never said that.
You have thought about doing that.
As a joke. I should do this. That's so cringy.
It is cringy,
but it's also just
it's horrible.
it's sort of cruel as well if people don't know how to take a joke, you know, because it is a level of deception. But
I will say I did not try to actively deceive people this time, but I guess I did.
Yeah.
So maybe we should. Like, how long do we keep this joke going? Like we just don't say anything.
Don't refer back to it. Y'all can.
Okay, good.
Those who listen to the podcast will know. So.
Okay. Cool. Anyway, you want to go to our next segment?
Imperfect parent.
What's that about, Ben?
Yeah, this is the section of the show where we talk about how we're just the worst parents ever. Our child deserves so much better, and yet she chose us. Apparently, we took her to a concert.
Idiots.
Please tell us. Please comment or share a story. DM us of a time you took your baby to a concert and what tricks that you did to deal with having a baby at a concert. So we took a baby. Yeah, go for it.
Before, again, every week we're probably like, you know, 2 seconds for being CPS being called on us. It was not just a concert. Like, concert for me feels like you're standing up, the crowd is in tight. This was a jazz festival. It said, bring your own food and alcohol. So in my brain, because we met and fell in love in Chicago. We've been to so many outdoor festivals in Chicago where you literally have a big grassy area and you pitch your big blanket up and you get your strawberries and your bubbly out and you're sitting there having a sickening moment with your family, right?
Yeah.
So we go to this place.
You bring your own chairs as well. Yeah.
Bring your own chairs. So we brought our chairs. We brought a blanket and all of that so we could pitch a little cute little picnic tent with our baby. And it ends up being like, rows of concerts. Rows and seats.
Yeah, it's like wooden benches. And so I bought the cheaper tickets. And so there were like little sections where you could get with tables, but those were very expensive. So we ended up sitting out on a row on like these hard benches, which is fine. We had a blanket. And then the other thing we didn't realize is that in, I guess, LA, everyone drives and they want to pack as many cars into a lot as possible. So there's a lot of tandem parking in LA, even in the not only like venues, but also in houses or housing complexes
just
as well.
Stacked parking. Yeah, so, like, it's like a valet, but there's no valet. So you cannot leave.
Well, yeah, once you park. So the concert you know, ends at 10, and we got this baby here, and we didn't know it was tandem parking until we got there, and we're like, right. I guess we'll just persevere, we'll push through. So that was sort of a drag.
We sat in the car for like an hour. We did.
I brought a novel. I read my book. And getting out was insane.
It was insane.
But just very difficult. A lot of maneuvering. And it was a good time. But I think the great thing about this concert is that everyone was just around us was just so kind to Wild.
Yeah.
Like they were sharing food with us. They were holding her. She had so many aunties. But we did meet this one woman who was like, you know, I feel like Wild chose you.
She chose you as parents.
Like very LA spiritual. And she's like, you know, I do spiritual guidance and spiritual renewal.
Yeah.
And
it was like spiritual vow renewal. She's like, I can just tell y'all are so happy. So what you need now is for me to do a reading where I share how happy y'all are with each other. This is in the middle of a jazz festival, mind you. Yeah, we're trying to listen to the music, and she's like, you know, red wine, you know, and we love our red wine, but like her whole, you know how like somebody has like a red wine lipstick and then they're still drinking wine.
So she
was very intoxicated, talking over the jazz, sharing with us about how we were connected spiritually in another life. I just want to listen.
The best part of this situation is that she looks at me. She's like, you know what? If you want, you know, I could do a spiritual renewal for you guys. And she pulls up a QR code on her Apple Watch.
Yep.
And turns around and says, you know, why don't you go ahead and scan it?
That's me.
And I really wanted to be like, no. But at the same time, she had given us a lot of food. She had held Wild. She'd given us chocolate.
Well, to the point where I felt bad denying it. I feel like you just painted the picture. Like, but we were just so hungry, so she had to give us. She'd be like, "Y'all want any pasta?" She's like, "I just made it. It's really good." I'm like, "Okay, sure. I got some chocolates over here. You look like you need a little chocolate." You're like, "Oh, sure." Well, you know what? You too. I got some fresh popcorn. I just made. So it got to the point where I was like, I don't even want these things, but I don't want to be mean. So by the time she then offered us her services and business, I was just like, all right, I don't know what you want from me.
She was also an immigration lawyer as well. And divorced with a 23-year-old boy.
Oh, you know a lot about her life.
A lot about this woman's life.
Yeah, because the concert people would be like, all right, where are all the people in relationships out there in love? Oh, she's like, third divorce or something. I was like, ouch.
She was a whole character.
Yeah, she was
really sweet. But
I love when somebody has like a little boozy charm. But scanning that QR code was just crazy. Did you find out? Like, did you look at some of the services she offered?
No, I mean, I'm not about that life.
I think we should do it.
Well, she did.
I want to find out if we were connected spiritually in a past life.
She did say, though, and this was actually good advice, right? Because amidst all the absurdity a person might be presenting, there's always a little bit of like truth nugget, right? You can just extract that truth
nugget. Even a broke clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, and she did say, you know, every 5 years, you should do a little vow renewal, do a little ceremony. It's just a really great way because your vows are going to change. Like, you got a baby now. Like, add that to the vows. And I thought that was, like, really helpful. And I was like, oh, yeah.
What would you add in the new vows?
I'd be like, something about, you know, caring for us, building each other up as a family, you know, parenting together, even through, like, the hardest times and even through the happiest times. Right. And I think that would be a really cool thing. Like, I think 5 years. So we'll be married 5 years next year. And I would love to do just a small, you know, maybe 50 people, like just a day where we dress up. We wear a little nice.
Oh,
right?
We're inviting people.
I think we have.
The budget just went up.
Yeah, well, patrons, go ahead and support us.
I mean, we went to Paris for our fourth wedding anniversary.
Yeah,
we'd have our friend next year.
Yeah, we'd have our friend Jason come and, you know, do the renewal. I could write another. My guitar playing skills have gotten better, and I thought that was really helpful.
Yeah.
Really helpful advice. And so, despite the craziness of this woman, she gave us some good advice. And I wouldn't even call her crazy.
She wasn't crazy. She was just a character.
She was a character. She was slightly annoying.
Yes.
But that's fine because we all have people in our lives or we interact with that are annoying, but that doesn't mean that they don't have value.
And it also, I think before I had a child, I had this misconception that people are just so annoyed by kids. You know, yeah. Like you see so
this
many
is not
videos.
The situation.
You see so many videos of like TikTok or snaps on little kid or like, you know, yeah. Impatient working dad, you know, went off on some kid who was having a tantrum or whatever. And so I am overly aware of how wild shows up in different spaces. Yeah. Like, it's like when we're on a plane or something, I'm kind of like, please, please, please. Like, we're trying our best over here. And most people, you know, like when you're off of the internet in person, people are actually really kind.
Yeah.
That's been my internet experience.
The internet gives this like this perception that everybody will react in a violent,
yes.
cruel way when a child is being an inconvenience.
Correct.
Right? Because those are the videos that go viral. But the day-to-day life is most people are pretty okay with babies. Like even
yeah.
the young single people in our life who don't have kids.
Yeah, we have many friends who don't have kids.
Who
we're one
love,
of our few friends
who like,
with kids.
You know, like who you would think would be annoyed, you know, air quote, would be annoyed at a kid, freaking love.
Yeah.
Wild,
like whenever you know? I'm occasionally like, can you please help me out today, girl? Like our nanny just canceled. Yeah. Like I need a little bit of, they're like, girl, yeah. Like, and I'm like, this is what I, and we did that when we yeah. didn't have a kid. We used to babysit
watch,
all the time
yeah,
and it was fun. So I think you really do like, being on the internet world and being IRL are really just, I had a moment like that today where I was, I've kind of stopped reading trash comments on that video. Like I know it's a joke. Like there's no need in
yeah.
reading more people dragging me and being racist towards me because it's just like, I mean, this is literally the love of my life. I'm married. So like, feel yeah. free to shit on me. And I had a moment in, like, I went to the gym, and then I went to, I always get, like, a little Jamba Juice protein yeah. smoothie after that. And this black girl walked in. I held the door open for her, and she walked in, and she looked at me, like, with a little squint. And mind you, like, I just finished with the gym, and the last thing I'm seeing on the internet is people being
like,
mean to me.
Yeah.
So she looks at me, she squints, and she pulls her shades down, and she's like, oh, you're that girl from TikTok, aren't you? And I was like, you know, I'm like,
yeah,
like well, what's going to come after this?
She's going to make fun
and
of you.
And she was like, hilarious. She's like, what you're doing? She's like, you got something and just don't
aww.
Stop. And I almost cried. I was like, I need to pay for your juice. But these juices are like $9.96. So I should. Like, and you're wearing Gucci shades. So I feel like you got more money than me. But it really was this beautiful moment where it's like, my last touch point was just such meanness from strangers
yeah.
that on the day-to-day in person, you know, like, because maybe, like, a person or two a day will stop us and just say, like, oh, like, you two truly got me through this thing. But it was just so, it was, like,
it was,
I know I can wax
nice.
Poetic about, like, how just beautiful that moment was, but
we are
it was
we are not
so
bothered
great.
When strangers come up to us.
No,
like and
not
say,
at
oh,
all.
You make us laugh or this
no.
or that. You know, the thing is, the ratio between kind comments and mean comments
yes.
are significantly skews kind comments. But it's those mean comments
yeah.
that really, really stick out to us. And I think bringing it back to
yeah.
parenting is I'm discovering that when you are mean to a kid, they often just remember that meanness. So if you have to be mean to a kid at some point, make sure that you are like overshadowing that with kindness, like kindness
right.
and compliments, because even in our, you know, physical relationships, the meanness always tends to stand out where like I, there are moments even with you, we'll talk about the do's and don'ts to parent, you know, do's and don'ts of marriage, right. Or relationships. We're going to go into that, but do's and don'ts of relationships is that always, always make sure for every like one negativity you, you know, present, give like 10 compliments, say 10 things that are kind to, you know, the roommate, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the partner, the wife, the husband, whatever. Like, make sure you just overshadow with kindness, because there are moments with you is that I will do so much nice things for you. You know, I'll compliment you, or I'll, you know, clean the house or make you food. And then I provide that one sort of biting, sarcastic remark. And that's what you're going to end the day on thinking, because that the meanness just has a way of sticking in a way that kindness doesn't.
Yeah, which is so strange. Yeah. I feel similarly sometimes with you. I'd be like, okay, when I come back, could you just like load and unload the dishwasher? You just feel like I'm not. Here we go. And I'm like, I literally just complimented the incredible meal you made. I just complimented, thank you for watching Wild while I ran over town to do this thing. Like, I just complimented, thank you for helping me edit this video. And for some reason, you heard, like, can this be done when I get back? And it was like,
that's a little different than what I'm saying, because that's an ask. I think a better thing would be like, well, you didn't do the dishwasher again today.
Got you.
Right? That's, I think an ask, I'm a little bit more okay. That doesn't really bother me. But when you make like a sarcastic remark, those sort of stick to me, despite the fact that you might have complimented me in all these other ways.
I hear you.
So Which is the same thing on the comments.
What's a girl to do? A comedian girl.
You just have to be very particular with your acts of like meanness, because sometimes you have to be mean to someone, like they deserve a little meanness, you know.
Because you remember yesterday, I was like, so here's the thing about it, y'all. Ben cooks, and I typically clean the dishes.
Yeah,
but sometimes, for whatever reason, Ben will be like, you know, Amber, I know you're a little bit busy, so I want to clean the dishes today. Like, yeah. I know I made the meal, and I know you're about to run out, so I want to clean the dishes. And I was like, Ben, no, like, it's totally fine. I'll clean the dishes. It's not going to happen right now, but I'm going to do it when I get back. And then you're like, no, leave those dishes for me. Like, you are adamant. Like, those are my dishes. Don't you dare touch them. Da-da-da-da. So then the next day comes around, and I'm like, okay, well, he told me to leave the dishes, but we're going into, like... We're going into 24 hours since he told me to leave the dishes and not touch them. So do I clip? And right now our microwave is broken. So it's like all of the dishes that I need to like warm up a meal in pot are now in the dish holder, dirty. But he told me not to wash them. So now I'm kind of like.
We're living like it's 1850.
Yes. So now I go to bed and I'm kind of like. All right, you said you was going to get to these dishes, and now we're at a point where we actually need you to get to them either now or let me do them.
She says it a little bit more mean than that, but
I say, Ben? Go do your best, Amber. When I need to do something.
Hands up. Okay. I mean, I would have done them if I would have known that you were going to procrastinate. You told me you were going to do them, Ben. Like, I'm going to be mad if they're not done when I come home. I mean, now it's your decision. Right?
I don't see anything wrong with this form of communication. Okay, what would you have me say when you told me you were going to do the thing and then you haven't stuck to the thing?
What you say is like, stick to what you say, Ben. Come on.
You think that's nicer than the first?
No, I was still thinking of the kinds of ways you would say it that would make me be like, oh, that was mean.
Okay, how would you? I'm asking, how would you like me to say it?
Oh dang, you got to say something. You got to like smooth. You got to give me the compliment. Be like, oh, baby, that food you made was so good. Are you sure you really got the dishes? All right. Well, you know, if you're not able to do them, you know, I can do them when I come back. Well, if they're not done, there's gonna be like rats and mice and cockroaches inside there. We don't want that, right? Because we don't want them. Because
you don't feel like this is infantilizing and patronizing. We don't want that, right? Like, that feels like talking to Wild. But if that's how you want to be talked to, I can do that.
I want you to baby me a little bit. I need you to be nice to me. I mean, you got to give me like 100 compliments. Like, this food was so great. Thank you so much for doing all this.
I can do that. But you know, Ben, when I do that sometimes, you're like, here we go. What you going to ask me for? It's like when you come in, you're like, you're looking so nice. I'm like, what do you want?
That's true. I also think that. I mean, you're sort of in a lose-lose situation.
I am.
Well, talking about lose-lose situations, do's and don'ts. Let's talk about this of relationships, because marriage ain't for everybody.
Ooh, dang. Okay. Letter number one. Dear Amber and Ben, how long is too long to wait to have a wedding? I'm currently engaged. We've known each other since preschool, and we've been in a relationship for 8 years, and we've been engaged for 3 years. We have a 6-year-old son together. There are no other kids besides the 6-year-old son. And we are both 30 years old. We have not picked a date for the wedding, and there has been zero planning. And this person wanted to add to me that neither of them bring up the wedding.
I mean, well, you can't have a wedding if you don't plan it. So,
right. Well, what in your opinion? Now, let's answer the first one. Yeah, how long is too long to wait to get married?
That's the question. The question is
if you're already
long.
Engaged.
So, listen, you plan the wedding, and once you're done planning the wedding, then you get married. And so that's going to be a range depending on who you are. It could be 6 months of planning. It could be 3 years of planning, right? Because if you want a huge wedding and you need to save up the money for the funds, go ahead, do that. Make it 3 years. Hey, if you want to be engaged for 5 years because you want to have this elaborate wedding and you don't want to take out any loans for it, go ahead, have a 3 or 5 year engagement. That's the thing. It's all relative. In this case, I would say in this person's situation, you've been engaged for too long. Like, that's too long because you're not planning and you're not bringing up anything. So for me, it's not necessarily like a specific time, 1 year, 6 months, 2 years, three years, 2 months, whatever. There's no specific time. That's all on relative to how you're planning. But if you're not planning, then a month is too long to be engaged. If you're not planning, 3 months is too long to be engaged. You shouldn't be engaged if there's no steps being taken to make this like wedding happen, this ceremony happen. And it doesn't have to be a big ceremony.
No, of course not.
It doesn't have to be elaborate at all. And maybe you don't want to get married because
maybe that's the trauma behind marriage
and the fact that marriage, let's be real, marriage is a misogynistic structure. Right. And so,
but that's not what we're talking about right now. We could talk about that, but that's not
what I'm talking about. But if that's sort of an idea that you're thinking, maybe the reason you're not getting married is because you have this trauma that deals with this idea of marriage. And that has to be dealt with first.
Yeah. I think it's difficult when, especially for this person, you have a child. And the reality is marriage comes with benefits. So it's like, whose health care is this child going to be on? Are we all on a family plan? Are we all like it really does get down sometimes to some contractual things that come with marriage. And I think, like, if I can just keep it a buck, it feels like sometimes after 3 or 4 years, it ain't never going to happen. Like, unless you do something drastic and present this person with like an ultimatum and say like, hey, we are currently engaged. I want to be married within the year because I have not seen somebody successfully save money for a wedding or whatever for 3, 4, 5, 8 years. Like, it's typically not a money thing. Because you can always just like, let's go to the courthouse, get legally married, and then we'll save for a big ceremony. But I've found that it's just typically like we're just procrastinating. We're not bringing it up. We're not prioritizing it. And so that's when it feels a little bit like, well, why aren't we prioritizing it? Are we like, maybe we should go to therapy and talk about like go to therapy. And our end goal in this therapy session is marriage. But I think it's
start marriage counseling or something.
Yes. And it's a little misleading. I mean, not that you should worry about anybody outside of a relationship besides yourself. But I think sometimes weddings are for like families and stuff like that. So it's difficult when your family members are like, oh my God, we're excited for this thing. And now it's like, okay, should we book flights? Should we not book? Like, is this something happening this summer? Is it a destination? Should we be saving? Because I mean, I have a cousin right now who's getting married in Cancun. And I was like, this kind of came up a little bit too sudden. And I don't know, but you know, because a part of that is communicating with your family about the whereabouts or what if a freak accident or something happens. And now like, this person is not a beneficiary, because I remember when we first had Wild, we were like, oh, we got to get serious about like life insurance and beneficiaries and updating documents
I want to be clear right now that all the benefits of being married in, I'm pretty sure throughout all states, can be applied to a domestic partner. So you actually don't have to be married for health insurance. So when you're like, oh, there are benefits, there are actually probably less benefits in some ways. It's depending on like your state.
Right? But it
because
feels like
for,
this person...
for us, like if you for filing taxes, it actually probably would have been better if we filed separately. And we so weren't
right, but I'm just saying, married. I'm not going to act like, I just hate when I hear people say marriage is just a piece of paper. It's like, no, things kind of do change with marriage, depending on
the
like,
ceremony. Yeah. Socially. Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm not leaving money to somebody if I pass on who I didn't like make a legal binding commitment to. Like, I'm just not. Like, yeah. Me personally, you can say you would have left me that money, but I'm not, or, you know, we share a couple of accounts together. Like, I'm not doing all that with somebody, like, with my boyfriend. I am not.
You would have to be more intentional about how you go about, like, making your domestic partner the beneficiary. You would have to do that,
yes,
more explicitly. Maybe it's more, like, once you're married in certain states,
right,
then everything is, like, split.
But here's the thing about it, though, Ben. In most cases that I've seen, and this doesn't mean it's true, it's just in my experience, like, in most cases that I've seen, somebody doesn't have all of the paperwork and stuff together for a domestic partner.
Right.
Like, it's just like, nah, we're just delaying all that, too. Like, it's typically one or the other. And correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if you're somebody out there that you're like, nope, me and my partner are not getting married, but we do share these things. We do have benefits. They're on my health insurance. They're, you know, if something happens to them and they're about to die or something, like, we got as many ducks in a row as we can. Or obviously in some states there's an issue of like same-sex relationships and things have to be shitty for that reason too. But I think
not with the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, I'm saying like there might be some people out there that have not gotten married yet because of certain situations. You know, I be knowing what's going on in my state only sometimes.
Oh, you say like it's less socially acceptable, so it might be more difficult to get a venue to get married.
Yes. Especially it's like, well, this like whatever.
You can always go to the courthouse type of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think if especially with the kid, if y'all are already engaged, I'm not telling people like marriage is the solution to like. Like, I'm not the person, I know plenty of friends that are going to be together forever that are not married. That's fine. I think this person wrote in because they want to be married. They want to bring it up to their partner, and they kind of maybe don't know how, and there's been zero planning around it. So I think you and this person, you and him, should say, like, what are you doing this Saturday? Can we set aside 2 hours to talk about our wedding? And if he's giving you the old, like, what you mean our wedding? It's like, well, you asked me to marry you.
Yeah,
why haven't we talked about this?
Yeah.
Yes, because it takes, and it's shitty because the reality is, like, especially if it's like a man-woman couple, like, a lot of the planning just falls on the woman because, you know, we've, air quote, aspired to marriage our whole lives.
Yeah.
So it's really
hard. I've seen the wedding planner.
Yeah, but yes.
Opening scene as when she's a little baby, like, she's a little girl. She's
correct.
Like J-Lo's
yes.
character.
But in most cases, like, the woman becomes the wedding planner. Like, I remember, you remember the day of our wedding, you'd be like, we should invite so-and-so and so-and-so. I was like, I don't. Because there were so many times during the planning stage that I was asking you, I was begging you to give me your list of people. I was begging you to tell me what you wanted out of XYZ. And now we're here and you're like, we should have. I'm like, no. You don't get any more decisions. Like, enter Bridezilla. But you remember, there were times where I was like, Ben, I need you to sit down and do this for the wedding. Like, we need to go to the cake tasting. We need to go to the planner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe y'all should even just plan a Saturday to, like, say, like, let's just shop around. Let's have a date today and look for venues. Like, maybe just cold drop them like that, you know? Like, hey, what do you think of this spot? Because I think that's what we did. We were like, well, we're probably not going to get married too soon, but let's just go look at venues. And then we went to that one place, and they were like, you want to get married in 6 months? And I was like, oh, Ben, can we do it? And I think that probably scared the shit out of you, but.
I said, yeah.
Yeah, you said it. You said it just like that, too. I was like, okay, well, what, you know, when would you ideally like to get married? You were like, maybe in 3 or 4 years. I was like, girl.
Did I say 3 or 4 years?
I remember you saying something like that at the time.
I think what I wanted was I wanted to save up money for a down payment on a house. I wanted to get a house first. That was the
which is fair, but that's the point.
Yeah, Amber wanted to use that money for a down payment to plan the wedding.
Well, it's hard because I know that this is like a big debate, right? Like the down payment versus the wedding. But there's something for me about the presence of a wedding. Whereas I've made a down payment on a home that I don't even live in right now. It's in another state.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, you know, I love that we still, like, have our condo in Chicago. But, like, we live here now. So I would have hated to miss out on a wedding in that moment in time because I'm trying to like plan for a future when in reality, you know, me and you, we live in LA right now, but we might live in Japan next year. Like, so
I think the other thing that I think is a little BS that Amber said was like, oh, you know, you shouldn't care about what other people think about your relationship. And I disagree with that pretty hardcore. Like when you are in a relationship, a lot of people think that it's just me and this other person. And that's not true. Like you have family and your family, whether you like it or not, whether it's okay or not, it's going to be part of that relationship.
Yeah.
And so for both,
I do think you can make your own rules though, like we were talking about last week.
For sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, let me finish. So I think with an Amber situation, like both of our parents really cared about us being married because we're living together. And to say that doesn't matter is absurd. Like, you know, for us, I think it did matter because for us being married, it sort of, for them at least, solidified our relationship a little bit more. And so I think that is a positive thing in some sense to allow yourself to be influenced by your family, right? Because it's just a relationship.
Well, it's hard also for your family to see, like, is this somebody I should be investing in or not?
Yeah.
You know, and like, that sounds
being
shitty.
From the South and my parents being very Christian and religious, I think this was us having like a statement of like, no, we do take this relationship seriously and we're actually going to create a ceremony around that. So I actually have no regrets for us getting married. In fact, I wish I planned a little bit more. I think I gave Amber a lot of responsibility. Well, she just, no one gives Amber responsibility. She just takes it.
I tried you're going to sit there and act like I didn't try to loop you in on some of that.
No, you did. But I think, I wish I did a little bit more, you know, cause you will just take on the responsibility.
Yeah.
Automatically.
I will say if you're asking about like, you know, what did you and Ben do? Essentially, we got engaged and got married within the year.
Yeah. But you were it took a year for us to plan it.
Of course, the moment
we were engaged was the moment Amber started planning because that's who you are. You are a planner. You're an organizer.
That's when you're excited. Because
that's a good thing.
If I would have waited over 2 years, we would be engaged right now. Like, I get busy.
So for you, time is important. So like 2 years, you would say under 2 years, how long is too long?
Yeah, because it's hard for me. It's very, very hard for me to be motivated about something that's like over a year away. Like, I think that's
like
why
long-term
pregnancy
projects.
Was kind of long for me because I was just like, oh, my God, this is in 9 months.
So
like,
based on your assessment on anything, George R. R. Martin will never finish.
Never.
A Song of Ice and Fire.
It's not hard for some people.
Yeah, after 11 years of him trying to write a book, it's probably not going to get done. So even if you were to write a book like or even make a movie after 2 years, the project is probably not going to get done, you know?
It's not for me. Because
people do 30-year projects on different things. And
which is amazing. But when I came home that day and I was like, hey, can we move to LA in like a month or two? Like, and you're like, well, we probably should save.
Amber,
and I'm like,
Amber moves
I can't
quickly.
Save. I can't. Or right now, I'm super motivated to work out because we're going to a wedding in September.
So it's a little bit
But if I don't have like things coming up, it is
you need
shrimp,
like,
fried
yeah,
rice
shrimp
every
fried.
Freaking night, every freaking
or
day.
The other
like,
thing,
I need stuff coming up.
The other thing it can work with planning is that you set benchmarks. So the goal could be 2 years or 3 years, but by the end of year one, we'll have a place. By the end of year two, we're going to have all the wedding attire and the accoutrements and where we're going to eat. By wedding three, we're going to, you know, make sure everyone gets in.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, all the benchmarking.
That's smart.
So you could also do it that way, little by little.
So yes, in conclusion, have a meeting this weekend about it to just see some venues. Okay, so we're going to skip our other letter for right now because we're going to jump into that letter next week. And what we're going to do...
I don't think they even knew we had another letter.
We typically do 2 letters a week.
Oh, really? Is that...
Yeah, that's how I was about to do it, but you were like...
I know, we can do it. Yeah,
it's
go
a quick
do
one.
It. Do
I think it's a quick one. You ready?
Yeah.
Dear Amber and Ben, K Communication and trust have always been very important to me in a relationship. I'm going to skip all the details, but we've been together going on 3 years, and we have a child that's 8 months old. My partner likes to talk about marriage and whatnot, but I've been hesitant because I don't think we're there. Anyhow, long story short, I just discovered my partner has been unfaithful, and this wasn't the first time. And now I don't know how to feel or what to do. My question is, how does one begin to trust again if I don't just leave his ass? Love y'all. Sincerely, blah, blah, blah.
Damn. Unfaithful is such a nebulous term. Like, I feel like there's levels.
Cheated.
Levels sex. Unfaithful.
Penetration.
So if it's
he
like
fucking
sex,
other bitches.
Is it texting what? Or is it sex?
Oh, I
you know what I mean? Like
cheating.
Because Amber watched like the Secrets of Hillsong or something like that, and the guy was unfaithful, and he would describe it as unfaithful, but
here's
I don't
the thing,
think
babe.
He had penetration.
Per the rules of their relationship, because every relationship, you have your own set of rules.
Yeah.
In their rule book, he was unfaithful. That's, I think, for me, that's all we need.
Well, I guess, yeah. Okay, before I get my ass, like, shouted out and beaten
by me
up,
or by other people?
Just everybody.
They're like, not you trying to justify this man's
I'm
infidelity.
I'm just saying there's, like, levels, because depending on, like, the level of there's levels of unfaithfulness. And some levels of unfaithfulness can be a little bit easier to forgive.
I say no, because this person also said in the past they have been unfaithful.
Yeah.
Like, so this is...
This is a pattern.
This is a pattern.
Well, this is a pattern. I think any kind of pattern behavior is unforgivable if that person is unable to address that pattern, right? So, I mean, you have a kid together. That's really difficult.
Yes.
And it. My first question is this person willing to admit that they're unfaithful? Are they willing to...
Or were they caught?
Or are they willing to... And more importantly, are they willing to work on this? It looks like serial cheating. So, in the description, like, this has happened before.
I'm curious as to why your partner talks about marriage, but is unfaithful. Like, it feels like you would be the one wanting to push marriage, and then they're hesitant, and then you find, like, oh, because they're unfaithful. It's like, but why do you want to get married? You're cheating on me.
Well, you know, we all watched that movie with Ben Affleck, and he doesn't want to get married, and yet he was the more faithful one. And then you have Bradley Cooper, who is married, but he turns out to be the unfaithful one.
Right, but that movie would have confused us just so we're clear, we're talking about he's just not that into you. That movie would have been confusing if Ben Affleck... If Bradley Cooper
wanted
excited
to get
about
married.
Getting married. Like, that movie worked because he's kind of like stuck in his sort of loveless marriage and then he cheats. But it's like, but if you're excited about this potential upcoming marriage and cheating, that's confusing as hell. I don't know.
It sounds like talking about marriage might be a way of like asking for forgiveness.
Yeah. Or saying like, I do take this relationship seriously. Yeah. I'm the one who wants to get married. You the one who don't want to.
Or it could be a form of manipulation.
Yes. Or maybe they're like, well, we're not married, so technically did I cheat on you? Like, it depends on how they're using like the marriage card. People do shit like that.
Yeah,
they're like,
like,
I mean, well, technically, like, we're not legally together. Like,
oh, yeah.
If we file paperwork, we're single.
There was like a viral video of a man walking down on his wedding day. And he's texting, and the response comments on that video were like, oh, he's texting his side women, being like, oh, sorry, it's over now. Remember that video
showed me? Yeah, yeah, oh, my God. I mean, he was heavily texting.
We all speculating,
but yeah. Or maybe he was on FaceTime with a parent that couldn't be there. We don't know the details.
We have no context. Talk about people not having context for some random thing they see on the internet.
Here's the thing about this person's letter real quick. I don't want to give advice like this is some distant person in the ether. So in my brain, I like to think of like if my friend had an 8-month-year-old, which is very difficult to have a child that young, and you're finding out about infidelity, which could probably have happened when I was pregnant, when I was postpartum, and they've done this before, and we've only been together 3 years.
And now they're talking about wanting to be married.
I would honestly recommend to my friend that they either break up or take a break. Like, let's, at which I know sounds like, well, that's so easy for you to say, but I just, if this was my friend,
I need this person to help me out.
Yes.
Raising the kid.
Yes.
This is not an easy situation.
Yeah. Because because you know what it is for me? Your self-esteem takes such a toll when you are postpartum. It just does. You don't have the body you used to have. Your mental state is that you don't have the teeth in your mouth that you used to have. You got cavities everywhere. So it's like, so wow, like as I am going through these like physical changes, you are being unfaithful. Like now what? Like I've had your baby and now I feel unattractive to you. I feel unattractive to myself and now to you. So for me, like, that constant toll on my self-esteem, I personally would recommend to my friend, like, you need a break from this man. It doesn't mean y'all are going to be away from each other forever, but you need a break because it is so hard to parent when a child is that young. The last thing you need to worry about is if your person is being faithful. You know what I'm saying?
And so when you break up, you're like, oh, yeah, they can do whatever they want. Just make sure that you come here. Put him on child support if he's not on child support yet.
Oof, you know, that's a long conversation for some people. But if it was me, if like, and I'm not even gonna talk about my friend now. If Wild was 8 months old and we had only been together for 3 years.
And I was cheating.
And you
we'll
cheated.
Talk about,
I would have to break up with you, Ben. And I would have to put you on child support.
Yep.
That, nah, and I'm not, hang, I'm not
I'm just
telling anybody.
Me going back to teaching, would be so
you would
hard.
Get your ass up and work that 9 to 5.
I would start making more TikTok videos for sure.
Yeah. I would cry myself to sleep every night? Absolutely. Yeah. But at the end of the day.
You'd probably have to move back home.
Yeah, like my mental state and my stability cannot handle potentially breastfeeding a child late into the wee hours of the night and you outside doing whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
I can't deal with
maybe
that.
Maybe they could have an open relationship.
Maybe, but you know that's not what this person wants. Yeah. Like you can't go from like I don't an open relationship is not the solution to trust and communication issues. I want to be super clear about that.
People think that it is,
but it's not. It's like, it's if your man has a problem being unfaithful and cheating, why don't y'all just open up? Like, no, that's not how that works. That's actually
that's
not the solution
advice.
To the correct. So I think, friend, and I'm just being honest with you because I feel like you're my friend right now, I think you should leave him for now. Like, it's hard to be a fucking parent of an 8-month-old. It's hard to love your body again. Are you cheating on me? Out of here. You're out of here.
Get
you know what I'm
here.
Saying? Anyway. Dang. If I'm preaching, let me know. If y'all are like, Amber, you doing the most. Let her forgive him.
I like Pastor Amber. Pastor Amber. I want to start calling you Pastor Amber.
You should. Amen. All right. Let's get into Shelfie. I think we should just talk about one thing here since we're going a little bit over time. What do you think? Or do you want to talk about your book for real?
Yeah, I can talk about my book because it's sort of funny. I was thinking about this. I'm reading this book called Revelation Space by Alistair Reynolds. And the big part of this is traveling through space. So we cannot reach the speed of light. That's impossible. But we can. There are these ships called light huggers in the book that can reach sort of close to the speed of light. So think about a truck driver with a family. But the truck driver goes out like 20 years and then has to come back. And
Got
so
it.
He's maybe aged, the truck driver's maybe aged, you know, a couple months or whatever because they put them in cryo sleep. So you're sleeping that entire time.
Not Interstellar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you come back. And so this has a lot to do with the plot. And it's so sad. Like there's this character who ends up like, because of a clerical error, gets separated from her husband. And she has to she's like 20 years away from him. So if she decides to go back, she'll be 40. He'll be 40 years older than her. And so that becomes like a sort of a plot of the story.
Jeez.
And it's really sad, but
you okay?
Yeah, it was.
You thinking about
yeah,
if
I was
that
thinking
happened
about that.
With us?
Also, these ships, though, are sort of like LA houses.
Okay.
Basically, if you didn't buy one at this time, you'll never be able to buy one because they're so expensive. They're called light hugger ships. And I was like, oh, man. The writer is describing these ships. I was like, oh, this is like an L.A. house. It's basically impossible to buy an L.A. house. They're all in certain neighborhoods. Sort of sad.
Like price point-wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you're reading this science fiction novel. It's like this ship that is so complex and expensive. And you're like, oh, there's houses like that. Now we're basically living
this
in this world.
This allegory for, yeah.
don't know. That's a good book.
So what is it called again? Revelation Space? Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll put that in the episode notes because that does sound pretty sad. Like you don't typically like reading sad things. That's more my.
It's more thought. It's more like thought provoking. I think like taking a science fictional concept and putting like a very human experience of like separation and travel, because it is really taxing if you're a parent and you have to travel all the time. But now let's put that in a science fiction context and you're time traveling, or, you know, basically in cryo sleep, and you're going 20, 30, 40 years from someone, you know, that talk about a widower. It's a very different kind of concept. I don't know.
Or maybe you can think about it like, well, I'm unhappy, so we don't have to break up. Why don't you just go in space? Yeah. And I stay here young and beautiful.
I can reap the benefits. Well, no, that person who goes in space stays young and beautiful.
Oh.
Because that person is traveling in cryo sleep.
Oh, never mind.
So, I mean, I guess if you
would
don't
Would you
really...
leave me to go to space? Probably.
No.
To go to space? No. You love space.
I do. I like this concept of space, but we just have no technology mm-hmm. that would allow us to survive. Like, if we had some sort of way of, like, you know, extracting solar energy and turning that, metabolizing that in our own bodies, and then we can create like breathable air within a travel. Like, basically, I would have to bioengineer myself so that I can make the food in my body, like in space, so I could breathe in space,
so
make my
own oxygen
or something like that.
Waste.
Yeah, because everything in space wants to kill you. You know,
got it. Like, so you're gonna be here with me, not being killed.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I'm not gonna be traveling. We have no technology. We don't have the right technology for this space traveling. So, what are you reading?
I just finished We See Each Other, which I've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. I'm about to start Detransition, baby. So read that. I feel like my computer just died, and I don't actually know who the author is. But you bought that book for me. Where did you buy the book for me?
So there is, I think it's like Skylight Books in Los Feliz.
Okay.
But I was with a friend from like childhood. He's like, oh, this is a great bookstore. So we went in, and I bought that was one of the books I bought for you a couple months ago.
Yep.
So I'm glad you're getting around to it.
I am.
Might take you a little bit to start a book, but eventually you get there.
I'm going to start tonight. Okay, here's the last thing we want to talk about before we go. We both saw The Blackening.
We did.
We're not going to talk too long about it. We're just going to say spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. So please, you have some time. Go see The Blackening. It's hilarious. So good. Thoughts that you can remember? I know the computer just died, but
so
like...
the interesting thing about a slasher film, because it's a mask slasher film.
Yes.
And I wanted to see some like cool kills. That's the reason why you watch a slasher film.
Can you praise its greatness a little bit first?
It is.
So we're totally agree that it's hilarious.
Well, the thing that I love the most about it, as far as like slasher genre, is they take a board game, a racist board game, and
yes.
that sort of becomes the center.
Right.
And there's a lot of racism in the world, but specifically in board games. There is a game
yes.
called Puerto Rico that's racist.
Trivial Pursuit can be racist.
Yeah.
There was a video game
created by the white supremacist group called Ethnic Cleansing, and you are a shooter, and you go around shooting like black people.
Please tell me that's not a thing.
It's 100%. It came out in like 2003. So there is racism that shows its face in many ways. Puerto Rico is a really, really famous game. You are basically in charge. You're a governor in charge of sugar plantations in Puerto Rico.
Let's
and you
not.
Have to sell and
Let's
like
not.
Export this. This game won a bunch of game awards, right?
That's crazy.
And so racism, you know, lures its ugly head.
Because it's a part of the fabric of our society. Yeah.
And The Blackening is the name of a board game.
Yes.
That these friends have to play.
Right.
And in the movie. And that... brilliant. It's very funny.
So like the questions asked by the racist board game are so funny.
Yeah.
And we went to the screening where it was just like packed because we were just really rallying around the film. So it was like the biggest blackest experience ever. And it was just so culture. It was so clearly written by black people.
Yeah.
Just like some of the Like, do you know the second verse of the, like, lift every voice and sing? It's like, we don't fucking know that second verse. Like, that. Continue.
So, continue. But someone, a character ends up realizing that they have to sing that. And as like, the person in the movie theater was singing it, someone in the stand.
Someone in our screening was singing. We were like, yeah!
And I love that. I was like, watching that movie reminded me of the importance of watching movies with strangers. It is important to watch movies
with strangers.
But
there was a kinship there because of that. Yeah, Ben was one of, you know, I think you were actually the only white person in there. Maybe there was one other.
I mean, I'm sure.
So wasn't that a privilege for you to get to sit in that room
huge,
with us?
Yeah.
And just hear that joy and that, like.
One could say that it was a blackening moment for me.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's not how blackness works. But yes, I just wanted people to know you were joking about that. But it was great, like this from the Spade playing to there's the one biracial girl in the group. You were disappointed that somebody didn't die by death of the rolling pin,
yeah,
right?
There's,
like, that was infuriating to you.
Yes, I've seen one person killed with a rolling pin in a horror movie. That was a Black Christmas remake. Billy the murderer kills someone with a rolling pin. I think, like, we deserved more rolling pin deaths in slasher films. The other, huge spoiler alert, but not knowing how to play spades becomes, like, the villain's origin story.
I love that. because there is always the lone Black family member that never learned how to play, and now everybody doesn't want to teach them how to play. So I thought that was just so funny and brilliant. I also thought it was nice flipping the trope on its head of not killing anybody in the group.
Yeah.
Nobody in the group died, right?
Yeah, no one.
Except for the two people at the top of the movie.
You need a blood sacrifice in the start of any horror film, and I love how they played with that. But here's the thing. Something that I think a lot of Black folk have to learn how to do is communicate through looks, just because they've always been silenced.
We do know how to do that.
Their voice has sort of been like taken away in many ways, or you bite your tongue, right? Like Black people having to learn how to bite their tongue in certain situations.
Yes.
So the movie takes that trope, that lived experience, and they put it within a horror context, and it's very funny. That was a huge strength of the film, and that sort of basically, the Black characters communicate through just looking at each other, like full dialogue, and it's very funny.
That's so good. You know what's also interesting? So there are only three white people in this film who all die, and one of the white, like, two of the white people that die are villains. One is not a villain. He's presumed to be a villain. But I remember thinking, like, this is the moment where I feel like this is going to be studied, because it's, like, we don't really see sometimes in film, like, just, like, white casualties of bodies. But obviously, like, the Black character is just naturally always, like, not the villain, but just dying just because. Like, I remember thinking, like, when's the last time I saw, like, a meaningless white death in a movie? You know, like with the park ranger.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there were talks in the writer's room of like, oh, should we keep him alive? Should we not? Like, and they're like, no, this is our movie. Let's kill him off. He doesn't have to do anything wrong. Let's just kill him. Like we die meaningless deaths in movies for no reason. Like just cause.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also the trope of horror films is that you do have to have the law at some point die as a symbol that the slasher is above the law. The slasher supersedes any rule of order. Yeah, so you have, you know, cops dying all the time in slasher films, at least one or two, or like the cop who is trying to do some sort of good.
I feel like the cops always like come at the end and, you know, like after the whole house has been bloodied or whatever.
Yeah. Or the cop will come and investigate and then they're killed.
Right. Gotcha. I think I've seen both. But yeah, even at the end it was nice where the next morning they were like, so we should call the cops, right, y'all? And then everybody just like busts out laughing. Like
no, they call the fire. They call the fire department as well because they're like, oh yeah, that's safer. But
yes,
there's a nice little twist there that is a callback historically. Yes,
in a sad way. Yes,
in a sad way. Yes. But I think there was a great story that is very serious and somber, dealing with a Black superhero who's trying to like do good and save people, but every iteration of this Black superhero happens is it's called the Venus effect. And
I'm trying to think about what you're talking about.
Yeah, but basically a Black superhero, it's a great story, it was collected in the world best American science fiction fantasy. So check it out, the Venus effect. Violet Allen wrote it. She wrote it a trans writer, and it's a sad, sort of depressing story, but there's a variation of that at the end of The Blackening, but it's done with comedic effect. This idea that, oh, you know, maybe the police can't help us, but the firemen can help us, but still the same response happens. Whether you call the police or the firemen, there's still going to be the negative effect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought, like, that's sort of done, thinking about, like, Black people historically being super trapped by any law enforcement, whether it's, like, politicians, cops, firemen, you know, whatever, park rangers. And in this case, they do that, but instead of making it, like, somber, serious, there's a comedic twist to it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, lessens the trauma of that historical experience. It's a great movie. Check out The Blackening.
It's just phenomenal. Please watch it. So funny. Watch it with friends. You don't. I'm not even gonna say like get high and go watch it. No, watch it sober. It's like Dwayne Perkins is an absolute genius. Like he's one of the like lead writers who sort of created this whole idea for this based on an idea that he did with 3Pete, which was an improv group.
In Chicago.
Let's go, Chicago.
Yeah.
So I've been a fan of Dwayne's for a long time. So seeing this come to, I saw him at a party this year. He's like, my movie's coming out soon. I was like, oh, this is sick. Like we got to watch it. We got to talk about it on the podcast, which I know obviously we've rebooted from the sci-fi side, but we still wanted to prioritize watching this film. So please go watch The Blackening. And we're good, Ben?
Yeah.
And we'll see y'all next week for the show. We did another one.
Yay.
Woo. Until Spotify kicks us out, we'll be here. Yeah. Okay, bye, y'all.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wilding all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, because they're wilding all the time. Squats and does a dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.